Chapter 2 of Acts. Let me read first and then say a couple things about this. Did you know today is Pentecost? Today is Pentecost. It says so on my calendar, and my calendar is from Youth with a Mission. And I bet your calendar would say the same thing, especially it's a liturgical calendar. Pentecost, 50 days or thereabouts after Easter. And it came about, chapter 2 of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when it had come, they were all together in one place, the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We're hearing them in our own tongue, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They're full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. We heard this ahead of time. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor or smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, since I got here late, let's pause and pray. Roger needs it. Let's pause. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you please to speak through your word. Because really, I'm still kind of scattered. I left part of my mind along the highway. And it's true. And Father, we're gathered here today in a similar expectation of what we just read. Father, I need you. Father, we need you. Without the reality of you, without your Spirit, without the reality of the person of your ghost in our lives, we're empty and lost. Please fill us and hear us this morning and cause us to know that our animation, our life is you and no longer ourselves. Please, Lord Jesus, I beg you and I pray in your name, amen. Well, I think the first question is, what's this have to do with us? Pentecost. Do you know that I'm embarrassed to admit that I have a seminary degree, and I've read and I've gotten old doing ministry, but only recently did I really begin to understand what Pentecost was to the Jews. Pentecost was known by different things: the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the latter first fruits. It was celebrated on the 50th day after Passover, and we know how critical Passover is to the Jews. That commemoration of when God allowed his death angel to kill everyone except those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. It's sometimes called Shavuot. It's traditionally a joyous time of giving thanks and presenting offerings of new grain of the summer wheat harvested in Israel. By the way, I've got farmer's roots and I've been watching, you know, the wheat. I think it's going to be pretty good. Let's hope it doesn't get too wet before we're ready to harvest it. But I grew up in the middle of a cornfield in Tippecanoe County. We have a lot to be grateful for right now, but we should have a lot more to be grateful for. Pentecost was when they presented offerings, first fruits, the thing that Abel did and Cain didn't. It's the celebration that's also tied to the Ten Commandments, and it sometimes bears the name Matin Torah. You don't have to remember that because I won't. Or the giving of the law. Jews believe that it was exactly this time that God gave the Torah to the people on Mount Sinai. That's Pentecost. So, you know, here's what has happened to me. I wonder about you. Over the years, as I've read the book of Acts, what do we get distracted by? The tongues of fire. And the whole business of trying to explain it. Have you gotten bogged down doing that sometimes? I mean, there are people around us, we ourselves. I mean, if there are good questions, what really happened? Were these actual flames of hot fire? I mean, would you get burned if you know, I don't know. I read an interesting thing, and I don't know how many of you would recognize this name. Does anybody recognize the name Garrison Keillor? Garrison Keillor has been on a show called Prairie Home Companion for years. It originates in St. Paul, Minnesota. He has he was born, bred, baptized, and burned a Minnesotan. He sounds like a liberal heretic sometimes, but I think that Garrison Keillor knows Jesus deep down in his heart. He was raised Pilgrim Holiness. I don't know if any of you know that. I'm not commending him or critiquing, but I enjoy listening to him. He alludes to a lot of things spiritually. There was a movie a few years ago, that was kind of, it was done as if it were a documentary of his show. He tells stories on his show about a fictitious town in Minnesota called Lake Wobegon. Wobegon. Where all the children are all the men are good looking and all the women are smart. I don't know, something like that. I can't remember it right. But anyway, Garrison Keillor was interviewed by the New York Times. And they asked him, well, what are your five favorite books of all times? Because he's profoundly literary too. He does a weekly show reviewing a poet or a new writer or something. And among those five books, you know, he said the book of Acts was one of his top five books. The book of Acts. Of course, it's a history book. You know that. I hope you know that. That's the history of the beginning of the church. But Pentecost, we get distracted by, and this happens all the time. It happens in life. It happens as we study God's word. We get distracted by the sensational. How many of you have read Isaiah 6 about the whole episode in the temple in the year of that King Uzziah died? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the seraphim, you know, and especially, believe me, working with college students, you get distracted by the cool stuff because it's cool. But why were these Jews in Jerusalem to start with? They were there because it was Pentecost, and they were there from all over the world. Isn't that something? God knew what was going on. Pentecost, as we read about it here, is when God actually is completing, bringing to completion the work of the cross. He has resurrected. Now he's doing what he said emphatically to the disciples in the book of John. Did he not say, I'm going to go away, but another like me will come. Do you know that, again, I invoke this a lot because I work with a younger crowd, but the word doctrine has connotations that can turn people off. But we need doctrine. Doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is always referred to with a personal pronoun. He. The Holy Spirit is God's ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's kind of getting ahead of things here, but the people who had showed up in Jerusalem that day, including the disciples, because they were still Jews, were there because it was a day that they were just accustomed to coming and bringing harvest and first fruits, fellowshipping with other people. Believe me, it's not that different. People are the same. That some of these folks didn't speak the same language, but they saw each other year after year. They were there. The disciples were there with an extra special reason. They were waiting to see what God was going to do. They had a particular anticipation. So, suddenly, while the disciples are together in one place, all these tongues of fire show up, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues. What an amazing experience. I wish that would happen to me. I wish it had happened to me. It happened to the disciples because it was the beginning of something. And I do think, here again, a distraction in the Christian's life, if we're not careful, we can agonize and pray and get misled thinking that something ought to be repeated in my life that is not replicable, that is non-repeatable. This was the beginning of the end of days. Christ has come in the person of His Spirit. Now, back to doctrine. Right now, we have a young man coming and involved in our Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And I'm telling you, he is the nicest kid. Sometimes he drums in our worship band. Sometimes he plays the guitar. But he comes from a church of some sort up in, it's up north of Terre Haute. I actually know where it is. It's a couple counties north, I think. And we had a kid from the same church about 15 years ago. It's a non-Trinitarian church. And this young man, and I'll tell you, very amiably, very just incrementally, he'll give me a little article, he'll send me a link to something, trying to show me what his church believes, and that Jesus is not God in the flesh. And really, he hasn't said much about the Spirit, but here's the thing that I have told him and will keep telling him. If Jesus is not God, if the Spirit of God is not God, who are they? What's the first commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall have no other gods before you, right? Now, you might want to share this with people, and somehow this seems to come up a lot. But if they don't consider Jesus to be God, then if Paul says in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every tongue, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, then we're worshiping another God, are we not? And there are ways, and I'll show you that we'll come to a passage in Titus a few minutes ago. The same awe and reverence and honor are given to the Spirit. We're not asked to figure it out. We're asked to believe it. But I will tell you this, as we believe, God will give us understanding. Don't check your brains at the door. Believe me, it's it's hard, but it's also invigorating to have to live out your faith in a college community. It's tough at times, but you just have to be willing to explain things. So Pentecost, these people were all together. But what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? Well, one thing we know is since this time, we know from what happened immediately after the tongues of fire, we know that Pentecost is for everyone. Someone noted that I was reading that this is really wonderful because it's kind of the opposite of the Tower of Babel. In this case, God, in the person of His Spirit, shows up and He begins to speak to all these different language groups. And by the way, these would have been all different racial groups too. I'll give you a really wonderful word in the Great Commission when it says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The word nations is actually ethnos. It means all kinds and colors of people. Doesn't mean political boundaries. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And verse 6 says, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. Some were bewildered, each one hearing them in their own language. And I won't read the whole thing again, but the Holy Spirit knows your language. And I've been in Eastern Europe, in Belarus, and He knows Belarusian's language. And I've been in I've been twice to India, and I lost track of how many language groups there are in India. But He knows every language. In South America, Uruguay. In a few weeks, I get to go with some kids to Honduras. He knows our language. He knows our heart language. God, the Holy Spirit, God's ghost. This is actually a good topic around Halloween. I like to mess with people a little bit, but, you know, I like to remind people, you know, you want to talk about ghosts at Halloween? Guess what? The ghost of God haunts this world. Doesn't He? We don't say Holy Ghost much anymore, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh, we are, if you are in Christ, we are in, I mean, the Holy Spirit is our residence here. He has taken up residence in our lives. It says in Colossians that our lives are hid with Christ in God. I love Jesus' comments in John chapter 10. My sheep know my name and I know them. And just let somebody try to snatch them out of my hands. Just let them try. Our lives are protected and informed and filled by the person of Jesus in the manifestation of His Spirit. And I would say to really bless them, I would say to our more charismatic or Pentecostal type friends, you know, praise the Lord. He is real. Make sure you don't call Him it. But He's my life. He gives me everything I need. He's here. He's here. He's here. Each person needs a personal Pentecost. But it's not going to happen necessarily like it happened here. Personal Pentecost is that time, and I'm making an assumption here, when you realized that God knows the language of your heart, that He knows yourself better than you know yourself, that personal Pentecost is when you understood and took those steps with your heart and steps with your feet to give your life to the Christ who physically allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross. Got a group of students right now, a group of athletes who are memorizing for next week Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you can say that, and you know that, and you have these times, it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, you may go days before actually you have those moments of quiet humility and you realize, wait a minute, I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. And my Jesus makes himself known and knowable in the person of his Spirit. And here's one for you. The people around you. I've said this for a long time. Amy and Lennon have heard me say this. Other people maybe have heard me say this. Have you ever felt like, oh, Lord Jesus, if I could just be hugged by you physically. There's a Christian song. It's called Hold Me, Jesus. I'm shaking like a leaf. Well, let me suggest, find another saint in whom the Lord Jesus resides and get him or her to hug you. That's being hugged by Jesus. Well, all these people were gathered there, and they came together for Pentecost. But one of the questions I think I haven't heard anybody ask is, or at least something to note, verse 12 says, there were people that were continuing in amazement and a great perplexity, and they were saying to one another, what does this mean? They had a holy curiosity, and it's because God had prepared them. He had brought them to Jerusalem. He had prepared them for the message that Peter's going to take up in verse 14. But first, notice, others were mocking and saying, they're just drunk. And those people will always be around, won't they? Those people always are around. But let's never be that way ourselves. You know, the Christian life is so full of doubt sometimes, isn't it? I've said for years to my wife and to students, some days I feel like my believer's broken. May I borrow yours? Not only am I not nearly as smart as I might look, I'm not nearly as full of faith and faithful confidence as I sure wish that I were, and some people think that I am. I actually will tell people, I don't want it to sound like false humility here, but I've had kids come up to me, Roger, you're awesome. No, I'm not. God is awesome. I'm not awesome. You don't know me. You haven't had to do my laundry, you know, or pick up my dirty socks, or you haven't seen me pick my nose in traffic, or, you know, I'm not awesome. I'm stopping there. Don't talk to Lennon and Amy. They've seen a lot. Well, personal Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is God in reality. This world is haunted, and the folks who think that we're drunk don't know it. I mentioned, see, that's the deal with ghosts, isn't it? Oh, there's no such thing. Yes, there are ghosts. We're just not to get distracted with all the spiritual miscellaneous. But I'm telling you, this world is filled with spirits. Now, in our Western civilization, especially our well-educated, fairly affluent United States, we don't see it much. But some of you who've been in the developing world, where there's still animism, superstition, well, and even legalism, you'll see spiritual manifestations sometimes. And some of us, maybe many of us, have actually experienced those things in a way, and we just blew it off as, that was just something random. But we have to say that the spiritual world exists because we know that the Spirit of God is real. And don't you feel kind of sad? Actually, we need to develop a pity for people who say, oh, this world isn't haunted. Go away. Get out of here. Yeah, it is. And those who have trusted the ghost, can enjoy living in the house that's haunted. They don't have to think it's creepy. Let me begin to wrap this up. There's one more thing about the Spirit, and it's in Titus. Actually, it's more than one thing. But if you will turn over to Titus, the last of the T books. I have loved Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 for so long. I have called it, to me, it's kind of like the other John 3:16. But here's a beautiful summary of the Trinity, of what happened at Pentecost and what is still happening, and what could happen to you today if you are ghostless. If you are Holy Ghostless, I think I just made that up, I'm not sure. But if you are Holy Ghostless today, my two favorite words are holy and hilarious, I promise you. Ask anyone who's known me for a while. Did I mention this world is tough? Indianapolis has had a record number of murders this year. Oh. There are car wrecks, and all of us know things going on in our families and other families. I have a sister, my younger sister, who's just has struggled so much with things. But you know something? This is just the preliminary to the real party. Here's what happened at Pentecost in Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 4. When the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I hope that in your various translations, that's why I love, some of you may have the Message, some of you may have NIV, some of you may have King James. I'm looking at New American Standard. He just poured it out. Poured it out. It's a hilarious picture. Why did He pour out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior? So that, being justified, being set right by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of His eternal life. Now forgive me if I haven't maybe taken apart a whole lot of the details of that day of Pentecost. I don't know how to even broach what those flames really were. But I know that my faith has been hot. And I know that the Holy Spirit, that Christ in me, works like He does in you. He pricks my conscience when I've neglected someone or something. And I go back and do it, right? He reminds me. The Holy Spirit reminds me that I am just as needy as the worst substance abuse user that you've ever met. Because sin is sin. He puts songs in me. I'm so glad He does. You know, these summer evenings, I roll down the windows and sing at the top of my lungs. Unless my wife's with me, and she reaches over and turns on the radio. Why do people do that? Did people do that in your car? You start singing and they turn on the radio. The Holy Spirit is the life in us. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Himself and other people. You've been places where, and you know, we don't want to stay only in subjectivity, but right? You have walked into places, you've been somewhere, and you've had a little bit of interaction with someone and you've thought, I think that person knows the Lord Jesus that I know. Holy Spirit, I could go on and on, gives us assurance. When we're down, we're so down. The Holy Spirit communicates with the Father with groanings too deep for words, doesn't He? This morning, maybe you need a personal Pentecost. And you know what? I'll be fine if, you know, we look and we see a little flame above your head. That'd be wonderful. We'll get it in the news and everything. It's much more likely, though, that you simply haven't allowed the Spirit who maybe has been working in your life to pry open the door. You know the study called the five love languages, right? Some of you. God knows exactly the best way to appeal to you. And churchianity is boring and it is fatiguing. Churchianity will wear you out. I grew up mostly with churchianity until I found Christianity. So maybe you need a personal Pentecost. What I'm saying is maybe you just need to say today, I really need to trust Jesus. I've just been coming to church. Or maybe that passage in Titus hits you and you realized that when he came into your life, he made all things good. But you haven't opened the package yet. That's what happened to me. I was saved at age 18. It took me 5 years. 5 years to understand who Jesus is and what he wanted to do in my life and in the lives of others close to me and around me, and he is still at work. I need times of refreshing, do you? Today, let's ask God. Let's ask Jesus. Let's ask God the Father, God the Son, and the person of his Holy Ghost to refresh us. And then let's share with each other when he starts doing it. Sing out loud or say something crazy or just smile so people think that you're goofy. Let's pray. Father, I just almost don't want to make many more words because I want to leave room for you to speak. Father, some of us are well into our grayness, and we need reassurance, all kinds of it, that it is indeed well with our souls. Father, some of us are young and we're just getting used to this ride with you. And Lord, I don't know, but you know. Father, you're here in this world. And Lord, one thing I know personally is I do get worn out thinking, when I forget, thinking that I am the one who has to prick someone's conscience or open someone's heart. Father, I'm not. You are. I just want to have my bucket or my basket or my hand ready to help you harvest. Please show us, just like that day on Pentecost, who is ready to listen and speak to us ourselves. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.